Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tim Arrington, and I am privileged to be one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church, serving the body of believers who worship here. And on behalf of the Garcia family, I want to welcome you and thank you for being here today as we gather to remember and celebrate the life of Carlos Charlie Garcia Jr. As difficult as a day like today is, as we know, a day of final words and remembrances, tears, sentiments about a dear brother and friend who has gone on to be with the Lord, I want to tell you, today is a day also of celebration. It is to be a celebratory day. Indeed, we gather in support of Carlos's family, but also we come in celebration of his life because his family knows exactly where he is today. He is in the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen indeed. And Carlos is in that blessed presence because he took hold of the promise that Jesus Christ made to all who would believe in him, the promise of eternal life in heaven. That promised inheritance was the source of Carlos's hope, and we learn about that promise in God's word. The Apostle Paul spoke of this hope in 1 Thessalonians 4 as he wrote to comfort people whose loved ones had died. And it is fitting that I read this passage to you this afternoon in that same context. Paul writes again in 1 Thessalonians 4, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep." Simply asleep is a euphemism here for having passed away. "So that you will not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." 1 Thessalonians 4. As I said, Carlos Garcia had this hope. He lived his life according to the hope that the Apostle Paul just described. Carlos loved the Lord Jesus, and he faithfully entrusted his life to him, and he never shied away from telling others about his Savior. As we begin our time together today, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father in heaven, indeed this is a good day. It's a day of tears, a day of sorrow, a day of mourning, of course. We love Carlos, and we miss him. But it is a day of celebration because of Christ's work on the cross and because of Carlos's belief in Christ as Savior. We can rejoice because Carlos is at home with his Lord. But again, today, we have a family that's hurting and grieving. And I ask your presence here today, Lord. Please, Lord, be here in this room with us to comfort and to bless and to simply be with this hurting family. Father, we are grateful that Carlos knew you, knows his Savior, and is with him now. We thank you in advance for the time that we will have together today, a time of sharing, a time of joy, a time of remembering. Most importantly, Lord, a time to glorify you for the great work that you have done in providing salvation to us through your Son, Jesus. Again, we thank you in advance for this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Would you be so kind as to stand with me? In your service folder today, you're going to find the lyrics to three great hymns of faith. Let's sing the first one together. Holy, holy, holy. God Almighty.
Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise his name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. Thank you for singing. Please be seated.
Mary Beth asked if I would share some of the family memories. So for you today, I'm simply the voice of Mary Beth. If you're here today, you are already familiar with at least one of the versions of Carlos Garcia Jr. Maybe you know him as Carlos, or Charlie, or Taco, maybe Panama, or Mr. Garcia, Brother Carlos, Elder Carlos, or Pastor Carlos. Maybe to you, he was a childhood buddy, a high school cohort, a college roommate, a fellow fighter pilot, a brother in arms, a workmate, a commander, a mentor, a guest speaker, a flight instructor, an elder, a pastor, a friend, a brother-in-law, an uncle, a father-in-law, a dad, a husband. But he was even more than all those, and chances are you may not know that he was also a childhood neighborhood rock star, a short-order cook, an international power lifter, the Air Guard's top cop, a youth and high school motivational speaker, an aviation mentor at Wright Flight, a foreign pilot instructor, a financial advisor, a life and spiritual counselor, a fighter pilot, an amateur guitar player, a cabana boy, a Charlie of all trades, an RV driver for the Queen, and the biggest encourager, supporter, generous, self-sacrificing friend, father, and husband. While our shock at God's plan and timing have left us crushed and speechless, thankfully, many of you have put into words what is in our hearts and what was so very special about Charlie. Furthermore, your prayers were most appreciated as evidenced by Jenna's last conversation with her dad when she told him that many people were praying for him. He said he knew because he could feel those prayers. These are some quotes taken from many of your cards, emails, and messages. During one's lifetime, you meet people who have such an impact on your life that you will never forget them. Carlos, you are such a person for me. Thank you for making the days brighter with your smile and your sweet humor. You have touched many people with your teachings. You shine Christ in all you do and say. I was blessed by our conversation. Thanks for being a wonderful person to work for and with. We appreciate your eternal perspective. You have been a positive influence on our family. Your smile and encouragement will be remembered. You have been a light. Your love and spirit will live on through all of us that know and love you. You have always left an indelible mark on my life. You always treated me with the attitude that I was a real person, not just an old lady. To every discussion, you have always brought that confident, clear, Christ-centered way of looking at things. Carlos is truly the kindest, most sincere person I know. You have been such a blessing to us. The strength of your family bonds is palpable. I praise God that you are an elder, a friend, and a faithful servant. Thank you for supporting me and my first grade class on Career Day. You were always concerned for me and my family. Encouragement and optimism radiate from you. You showed us what Christ can do with a humble heart. Your love for people, your love for God, his people, and the lost is evident. Just wanted you to know how grateful I am for the difference you made in my life. Your messages have been such a blessing to me. Your going the extra mile meant so much. I am part of your legacy. Both engines on fire, fuel leaks in both wings. I still tell Charlie stories to my students. It has been an honor knowing you. Thank you for being a good friend, mentor, and father-like figure. You will forever be in my heart and soul. The influence you have had on me will resonate throughout the rest of my life. I will miss you terribly, yet I know you will be met with Jesus's "Well done, good and faithful servant." You will never be forgotten. And as another dear friend ironically repeated nearly verbatim the words that I told my parents 34 years and 3 days ago as to why I wanted to marry him, he is the best man I have ever known. I thank the Lord for my blessing of Carlos Garcia, Jr.
I'm going to invite you to stand with me again as we sing our second great hymn of faith. If you knew Carlos, you knew he wanted hymns, right? We're not singing choruses today. We're singing the good old hymns. How great thou art. Let's sing those three stanzas together. Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were going to play that. Keep going. There we go. There we go.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on that cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you.
Jesus Christ is coming back. Carlos Garcia, an elder at this church, climbed those steps many times, whether for a prayer, an announcement, to preach. He started reminding us the truth of the gospel. We serve a risen Lord. He ascended into heaven. He loves us, and he's coming back. I met Charlie when we both arrived here in Tucson. We both just left the Air Force, and we decided to move our families to a dusty little town and fly for the Air National Guard. He was my second friend here. I was complaining one day that my family was getting ready to move out, and we had no idea where we're going to live. And Charlie goes, "Move in with us." We were young, naive husbands. Our wives had never met. I had two young kids. Mary Beth was very pregnant. And I show up at Mary Beth's house and meet her with a wife and two kids in tow, and we move into the Garcia's house. It worked out pretty good for us. We are the family you choose. Our families were other places. We became family. We worked together. We went to church together. We raised our kids together. We complained about our parents getting old together. So I think I'm the right guy to answer one of the questions on everybody's mind. Is it Carlos or is it Charlie? What does he prefer? If you really wanted to answer the question, you may go, you know what? I'm just going to call and see how he answers the phone. So you give him a call. What do you hear? Garcia. He was no help. You'd call his work and say, you know, is Major Garcia there? Lieutenant Colonel Garcia? Mr. Garcia? He took a lot of titles at work. And see what they call. And they're going to go, Panama, you here? And as you heard Mary Beth, that wasn't even his real call sign. Most of the guys at the guard don't even know. When he got here, he arrived as Taco. At your first fighter assignment, you're assigned a call sign. It is a huge fighter pilot foul to change your call sign. He couldn't use Taco here because the Albuquerque guard uses that as their call sign. And a call sign is not only our nickname, it's what we fly with. So he picked Panama. He picked Panama. It's the last place he lived with his parents. He graduated high school. And more importantly, it's the place he took MV on their very romantic first honeymoon. He moved her down to Panama in a sweaty jungle, and they had a great time. And Panama's always been a special place for him, and Panama is a very special person for the Air National Guard. I said we complained about our parents together. We not only complained, we took care of our parents. And in Carlos's last years, he was an amazing son to his father. We have a very close group, and wherever we met, Carlos Sr. was there. And he's really not Carlos Sr. The real name is Carlos Garcia, and as Charlie would tell you, we were too poor to afford a middle name. And Carlos Garcia Jr., and so as they're growing up, it was pretty simple. You had Carlos, and you had Charlie. By the time I met Carlos, Charlie was a little larger, and Carlos was getting weaker. A son could not do a better job taking care of his father. Slowly, Carlos started forgetting who everybody else was, you know. He didn't recognize his grandchildren, his daughter-in-law. The last person he recognized was Charlie. And I can still see the image of Carlos taking his hand. And resting on Charlie's arm and saying, thank you, Mio. He knew he was loved. So when you think of Carlos and Charlie, what you need to understand is that story. Because Charlie took over as Carlos as his dad faded away. And then he started to introduce himself as Carlos. So those of us who have known him a long time think of him as Charlie. I actually think of him as my friend as Charlie and my elder as Carlos. Whichever name you choose to think of him as, what you need to think of a son that loved his father and knew to to the very end, no matter how dark it got, that his father loved him. Charlie set a high standard for caring for his father. That put a lot of pressure on his family when Charlie was diagnosed. And I can tell you, they stepped up. They elected to do home hospice, and I don't think Mary Beth's gotten a full night's sleep since the diagnosis. Luckily, she's been surrounded by lots of help. Jenna and her did a wonderful job. Tina, when she was able to come in town, they cared and loved for their father, like their father had done for his. While they're caring for him, they had to be his strength. So they have held it together for the last 2 months. And I have seen this last week as all the mourning comes out. They stayed strong for their dad. And once he passed, you could watch as each of the caretakers started to crumble. So today I ask, give them grace. They haven't even decided if they're going to go to the reception afterwards. If they do, give them a little space. Mary Beth's line is, you know, I need a hug. I'm not sure I can take that many hugs. She would love to hug each and every one of you. But that grief is still palpable. So when she needs you, she's going to reach out to you. She'll have her friend to reach out to you. If they're not there today, our job is to gather and remember Charlie, Carlos, Panama, however you knew him. Find somebody outside of your group that knew him, because what you're going to find is they saw a different side of him maybe than you did. They still saw this loving, kind, patient man, but they knew him in a different area of his life. You're going to find how special he was to not just people at the church, not just people at the Air National Guard, but people at Fellowship Square, at people at Tucson Meadows. Everybody he touched, he had a tremendous impact on. Now, I need to apologize to Peggy for this next part, because Peggy's wonderful, but she's also very humble and wouldn't want me standing up here talking about, she's shaking her head now, talking about her in front of a group of people. And I only use her as an example because she is the type of friend that Charlie is. He is the friend that will drop anything for someone in need. He's the friend that will comfort you when you're down. He's the friend that will celebrate with you when you're rejoicing. And Charlie and Mary Beth have a friend in their life, and her name's Peggy. And Connie and I have known Peggy for a while. We really didn't see Peggy in action until Tina's wedding. She gave Mary Beth the best wedding gift you can ever give the mother of the bride. She said, Mary Beth, whatever you need, I will be there. I will take care of it. And so Mary Beth had a really great time at Tina's wedding. If she saw a problem, you know, all of a sudden Peggy would appear and Peggy would disappear and the problem would go away. As Charlie got sick, the Garcia support group gathered around them, including Peggy. Charlie's a morning person. Mary Beth is not a morning person. Mary Beth would take care of Charlie. She would, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, no problem. She'd get the meds straight. If you asked her to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pull some meds, that could be dangerous. 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, whenever they needed him, Peggy would show up. The overnight crew had gone to bed. Everybody's trying to get as much sleep as they can. And Peggy's there holding Charlie's hand. Not so I would get up and talk about her, because she's really mad at me now. She's doing it because Charlie was that kind of friend for her. He's a morning person. He would have been there for her in the morning. So the point I want to make on this is a lot of people here have lost a good friend because they've lost Charlie. There's a hole in their life. They need a Peggy in their life. You could be that Peggy. Look for someone in need. Look for someone that's hurting. Support them like Charlie would, like Peggy did for Charlie. Hopefully everybody's gotten a chance to read Charlie's last story. I know the bulletins ran out. If they're not, you can go on his obituary. Whether you look for Carlos Garcia or Charlie Garcia here in Tucson, you will find it online. And the same obituary that is in the bulletin is there online. It is an incredible life. I want to add just a little bit of color and fill in some of the blanks to that life. You saw he was a fighter pilot. Big deal. I know a lot of fighter pilots. He was a fighter weapons school grad. What that means in the fighter pilot world is we take our very best instructors and we send them off for their doctorate in being a fighter pilot so they can come back and train others. That's pretty impressive. What's pretty really impressive about the way Carlos did is he did it in his third weapon system. He had already flown the A-7 and the OA-37. I'm not sure I've run across anybody else that's done that. Most people do it in the airplane they start out with, or they've flown one airplane before they move on, and not two different airplanes. It's hard to put in perspective what fighter weapons school is, but for everybody that doesn't know, it's Top Gun. It's Tom Cruise being Maverick, going out there and trying to be the best of the best. So Tom Cruise wanted to be Charlie. I haven't seen that movie since the 80s, but as I remember, Tom Cruise runs off on his motorcycle. He's got a beautiful girl on the back, and her wind's blowing in the hair. That's a little like Charlie and Mary Beth's story. One night, Mary Beth walks into a fighter bar. There's a bunch of guys in olive drab, fire-resistant onesies. They're talking with their hands. Mary Beth didn't know what she was getting into. She was a beautiful, smart woman that was only worried about her career at that point in her life. She wasn't looking for a Charlie in her life. Charlie knew right away what he was looking for, and that was Mary Beth. So he rode off with her, her wind blowing in the air, her hair blowing in the air, I can say this. It wasn't on a motorcycle. It was in a fully paid for little beige pickup truck, and her hair was blowing in the air because the AC was out and Charlie had rolled down the window to get some air in there. You get an outline of his family in there. What's hard to put on paper is how much Charlie loved his family. I got to watch him go from, you know, a husband with no children. And when we moved into the house, my wife's an OB nurse, so Mary Beth had lots of questions. And they learned about, managing little kids as our kids ran around the house. And then very quickly, they had Tina, and then followed by Jenna. I know your dad's gone too soon. I know how much it hurts. I don't know how much it hurts. I know it hurts me. I know it hurts you worse. What I can tell you is, in the time he was here, any free moment he had, he spent it with you two. He didn't spend extra time at work. He didn't spend extra time anywhere he needed to be. His priority was his family. And he wasn't just there, he was present. He wanted to be involved with everything the two of you did. One of my best visuals of Charlie is as we're preparing for Tina's wedding. I forget what I had to bring, but I had to bring something over that was needed for the wedding, something absolutely essential, I'm sure, because they tasked me with it. and I walk into their living room. They got the huge table, and it is gorgeous white. There's white stuff everywhere. There are flowers, there are centerpieces, and all this white, and the ladies are working around, are there working around it, and Charlie's on one corner. Charlie's got a towel laid out, he's got gun oil, and he's got his guns, and he's cleaning his guns around all this white. Charlie's much braver than I am. But he did that because it's the way he was. He may not be interested in what they were doing, but he wanted to be there. He wanted to be present for their girls, and he wanted to be with them as much as he could. Jordan, Charlie loved you very much. He wanted me to let you know how proud he is of the man you become. Yeah, doctor, orthopedic surgeon, you know, there's plenty of those. What he's proud of is that you became a man that he was proud to give his daughter to, that you became a man that he was proud to be his son. He's worked with you a long time. They've always had the opposite relationship because Charlie's always had to physically look up to Jordan, and Jordan has always had to spiritually and morally and emotionally look up to Charlie. He taught him a lot about how to be a man, and he's so proud of you. Now we get to the Queen of Casa de la Garcia, MV. You know how much he loves you. I don't really have to explain that. He lived it every day. I want to highlight some things to everybody else. One of my favorite signals of Charlie's was this. And you'd be somewhere, and you'd see Charlie, he's doing this. You go, what's going on? Well, someone's talking, and they haven't thanked their wife. And if you started a speech, and you didn't say how thankful you were for your wife, and what she meant to you, and the wonderful life she'd given you, Charlie would be running that ring left and right until you said, oh, yes. And thanks to my lovely wife for all she's done for me. He had a wonderful life. And he knows it's wonderful because of all the love you gave him. Mary Beth mentioned in her speech so graciously given by Cindy Ray what a chauffeur he was. If you're not a long-haul trucker in the bed with your wife, you have not driven enough miles with your wife as Charlie has. He's taken the RV and driven her back and forth across country. Child moves. Okay, let's get in the RV. We're moving our child. Great, we're going to hire somebody? No, we're doing it ourselves. We're getting in the RV and we're doing it. And he did 99% of the driving in all those cases. That's a lot of love, Mary Beth. I look around this room, and there's not a lot of guys that would drive their wife as many miles as Charlie has driven you. One of those drives was back and forth to Pine Top. After years, and during the Tucson summer, they kind of looked around and go, you know, our kids are out of high school. We can be anywhere we want this summer. Let's go someplace cooler. And so they got the palatial Garcia Palace up in Pine Top. It meets all of Charlie's requirements for palatial. It's paid for, and everything that's on it, he can fix. And so he doesn't have to worry about hiring anybody, and he can go up there and enjoy himself without going, okay, I need to hire someone to do this. No, he's going to go and fix it and keep himself busy while he does it. This last summer, Connie and I were up in Pine Top, and Connie had to leave for an early meeting. And since Charlie is the expert at leaving Pine Top, coming down here to preach at Fellowship Square or Tucson Meadows or do something in the church and then driving back up to Pine Top, we wanted some advice on, you know, what are the dangers of leaving Pine Top in the morning? And I was really surprised by his answer. Don't do it. Because I never make the drive before sunrise. If I have to be somewhere really early, I go, I get up, I have breakfast, I get some coffee, and I go to the edge of town, and I wait. And when the sun comes up, I start the drive. Charlie wanted us to know that it was a dangerous road, full of surprises, and it was much better done in the light. You saw in his life story that Charlie was an elder here at the church. That's not a title of honor. It is a lot of responsibility. We are a First Timothy church, which means we take selecting our elders very seriously. Let me back up just a little bit. I knew Charlie before he was an elder. I knew Charlie before he was a Christian. And I can tell you the deep, dark secret of Charlie Garcia before he was a Christian. He was still a very great guy. He gives me some credit for leading him to the Lord. I think, and this is the way I remember it, it's a young husband who just became a father, who wanted to be the best husband and the best father he could be. And he was looking how to do that in his life. So the real credit goes to Mary Beth and Tina, because he wanted to improve for you guys and for Jenna, who is about to come. And so he goes, how can I find more joy in my life? How can I love better? He found that answer at church. And when Charlie started following the Lord, boy, he followed hard. He was hard charging with it. This is his Bible that I pulled off the table up top. You can't tell up there. It is held together by duct tape. You know, he wanted to be around his family, so he's an early riser. He'd get up. No one else was up in the house. And he could spend time studying the Lord's Word. And he's been back and forth in this Bible. He's been back and forth enough times that it got really worn. And he moved to online Bible studies. And so he would do a lot of his studies by pulling up the Bible online, mostly because if he kept going on this, it was going to fall apart. But this is the Bible that he would preach with. This is the Bible he became an elder with. And I'm back to Charlie Garcia the elder. It's a lot of responsibility to be an elder of a church this size. And he's done it for 15 years. He's been the president of our board. He's been the vice president of our board. He's been an active member and leader of our church. He has given up so much time, counseled so many people, made so many big decisions that some of us will never know about. The only thing that his family wanted to do as an elder was change the color of this carpet. It's one thing he was never able to do, and I'm sorry, Tina. You know, it was on his agenda. He just never had time to get to changing the color of the carpet. Here's the parable that Charlie wanted me to share with you today, or Carlos, my elder. It's from Luke 12, 16 through 21. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And then I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Excuse me. When he told me this, we talked about it, I thought it was a pretty strange parable to pick for his memorial. Charlie is the least selfish, least materialistic guy I know. He has not been building barns. He pays off everything he has, and he gives generously to those in need. As I had time to think about it, what I realized is this parable, he felt part of it. And I can tell you, when he told me about it, the girls had decided that, you know, this is the first Christmas where no one was living at home. No one was living in Tucson, I should say, Jenna. And the last daughter had moved to Austin. And they said, you know, let's make it easy. Let's buy some things for ourselves as gifts from the others. And so he went out and had bought some tools that were really cool. You know, he didn't really need them, but, you know, if I'm going to splurge on a present, I'm going to get these tools. And so he bought these tools. Well, as we sat and talked about this parable, a guy that rarely bought himself anything, you know, he's driven two trucks, I think, in the whole time MB's known him. They've had to buy some other things to haul RVs and fifth wheelers, but he's driven the same two trucks, and I can tell you, the air conditioning in those are not very good. But he felt guilty that he'd wasted one of his, probably his last purchase, on something that his family didn't need, that didn't build the church, that didn't help anybody else, but being a neat tool in his garage. I think the real story of this parable, though, is a warning to us. It's picked by a man that's at the end of his life. He's just been told that his time is coming. He's got months to live, if not weeks. And he wants us to have a little sense of what it's like to be the fool. None of us are going to live forever, not here on earth. There is no truth to the adage that he who dies with the most toys wins. Charlie never pulled the tools out in those last months. What did he pull out? The friendships he had developed over the years, the love he had invested in people, came pouring back. Tim, stuff doesn't comfort you. People comfort you. If you want to know where to put your treasures, put them in the people around you. Put them in your family. Don't build a new barn. I know some of you here, Carlos was still actively ministering to you. He wanted to make sure that his passing was not the end to your walk toward faith. So if Charlie's been ministering to you, what he asks is, find a church home. Find someone you trust that understands the Bible to be that mentor that Charlie was. He wants your walk to continue. He wants you to get to the point where you understand how much God loves you the way that Charlie understood how much God loves you. He understood how much he was loved, but he also knows how much every one of us is loved by God. I'm going to close with two verses. And it'll take me a little while because I'm a slow talker. The first one's Matthew 22, 36 through 40. And I picked this one because I want you to understand being a Christian is not that complicated. People can get bogged down in all sorts of rules and which Lutheran synod should I join? You know, all you really need to do is join a church that is looking to follow the Word of God. And Matthew 22, 36, 40 says, And these are, sorry to keep backtracking, I know you're all anxious to hear the verse. The Pharisees have come to trick Jesus, and they've sent a lawyer out there to try and see if they can trick him so they can get him into trouble. And they say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." This sanctuary is filled because so many of you felt that Charlie, Carlos, Panama had loved you like he loved himself. And I can say for the family and his close friends, I know he loved me more than he loved himself. He would sacrifice things to help my family and my extended family. And I know he sacrificed a lot to spend as much time as he could with his own family. He truly loved them more than he loved himself. We've talked a lot this morning about what a heart for God Carlos had. He almost wore out this Bible, and I'm not sure how many keypads he wore out on his online Bible study. But he was always trying to be better in the sight of God, to be a better man. The rest of us, in fact, I haven't talked to anybody that hasn't been shocked by his cancer diagnosis. And you know, the first thing you hear is a big gasp, and not Charlie, not Carlos. I can't afford to lose him. His family was shocked. There's only one person that I've talked to that was not shocked about his diagnosis, and that was Charlie. What he said when he got it, he was immediately at peace with it. He goes, "You know, if this is the path that God wants me to walk, then I'm going to try to walk it the best I can in the glory of God." So when you think of Carlos Garcia, you think of that passage, what I want you to think of is a man who loved his Heavenly Father, and he knew that no matter how bad things got, his Heavenly Father loved him. And I can tell you, in these last weeks, they got bad. We felt sometimes at a loss on how to take care of him when hiccups came up. Carlos was always at peace with it. He would sometimes say some inappropriate jokes to his caregivers and make fun of him, but he did it with love and grace. And the final verse I want to share from you is John 8:12. "And again Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" If you haven't made that step, the step Jesus wants you to make is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It takes the finality of death and turns it into the promise of everlasting life in the glory of God. To borrow Charlie's advice, for every one of us, the road ahead of you is dangerous and full of surprises, and it's much better if you travel in the light of Jesus Christ. Finally, I know that many of you came here with heavy hearts. I know the family has heavy hearts. I hope I let you know that Charlie is at peace with this, but he grieves for us, and he wants us to move on. He wants us to move on rejoicing in the Lord and always remembering Jesus Christ is coming back.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing those wonderful words, wonderful stories with Carlos. Cindy Bray, thank you for sharing as well today. The Garcia family, thank you for allowing us to celebrate our dear friend. I'm going to ask you to stand one last time before we leave today. Let's sing together four stanzas of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
As we close today's memorial service for Carlos, I leave you with this benediction from Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once again, on behalf of the Garcia family, I want to thank you for being here today. Your presence was so special to the family, I'm sure. Refreshments provided by the family are located just outside the doors behind you, the main doors to the rear entrance of our worship center here. Ask you to just come, stay a while, share your stories, share your memories of our dearly departed brother. Once again, God bless you, and thank you.